As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Good afternoon, Glass. It's good to be back on again.
Well, it's good to have you back on. I know retirement's hard to catch you now. You got all these things doing. It was easy when you were a civil servant. I knew right where to get you.
You know, it's funny that you said that, but it's true. You just, when you have time to spend doing what you want, your schedule's a little different, and you don't like having interruptions, particularly when you're doing something for fun, which is what I typically do Monday through Friday, is have a little fun on those days playing golf.
Well, every day is a weekend. So just practice, practice, practice. That's all we want you to do. We want you to get better and better and better. But you always left the door open for me. You always said, hey, if you have any questions about what's going on, if you want to talk about what's happening, I would love, and this is why we're doing this today, I would love to get your perspective on what's happening or not happening. That might be the better way of phrasing this in the entire convention center discussion here locally. I know this is something that you've obviously, being in city government the length of time that you were, you've seen this from the nascent phase to the almost, we almost got to the finish line to what happened and here we are today. You've been in all the processes trying to get this together. Where are we? Why aren't we doing anything? And, well, let's just start there. This is ground to a halt. Who needs to get the train back on the tracks, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, I guess I would kind of rewind to, as you mentioned, my role as deputy mayor was very close to this project, working with the city council, the mayor's office, the county commissioners and county council 6 years ago now, moving forward to get the tax passed, the tax that goes onto your food and beverage bill so that it allows for us to build the convention center at some stage. So that's now been collected for 5 years, and it's supplied ample resources, I think, to do the project. Disappointingly, the folks that are involved in making the final saying we should go forward have not said that yet. And I can say with certainty that the city council supports this, at least the majority of them. I know the mayor does. I know that the county council, in majority anyway, fashion, also support it. So that leaves one entity that has been kind of the roadblock in this process all along, and that's the county commissioners. Now, they have their reasons. I'm not going to speak for them, but in my opinion, that's the holdup.
And being held up and knowing that the approach from the city, and again, I know you're not in city government anymore, but you hear and listen to everybody, and the mayor's on with me every Tuesday, et cetera. It sounds like the city is saying, hey, look, we're coming here in good faith trying. We know you don't want to do this. We want to. We're trying in good faith to get this process moving and going. Why isn't anything happening? Aren't we? Shouldn't we all be trying to make it better for everything, even if you don't love the project?
Well, I think so. I think once the tax was passed, then the impetus was on the elected officials to move forward and build something. And I think that the pandemic had understandably some reasons to take a pause for the project. But I think we're past that. I sit on the Visit Bloomington board, something I've done for more than 30 years. We see plenty of demand for convention space returning strongly, as if it were 2019 again. We also see and have experienced a lot of lost business, that is business that would come to Bloomington if we had a larger facility. And I know Mike McAfee and his team at Visit Bloomington tracks all that and has shared that information with the elected officials, so they know that there is demand for in-person meetings after the pandemic. So I think you can check that obstacle off. You can check off the obstacle of the financing and funding for the project, because the F&B tax, food and beverage tax, has collected and rebounded very nicely after the pandemic has come and gone. For the most part, we aren't seeing any repercussions or negative revenue consequences from that. So the financial part, which is usually the most difficult, is there. It's back to the political will to move forward. And Glass, you indicated we have a willing side that wants to do this, and we have a side that doesn't. I don't understand why that can't be simply, if you don't want to do it, let the city do it. The facility that's there now sits in the heart of the city. It's an economic driver and will be an even greater one if it's expanded in size. Land was purchased by both the county and the city to act, augment and allow for the expansion over time and for the ancillary new hotels that might have to come and other businesses that will sprout up around the asset once it's constructed, and yet we can't get off the dime and make a decision to move forward with the project. So I know that the mayor's office has sweetened the pot a little bit. I understand the commissioners say it's not enough, but then I never see an offer in response to what is enough then, other than, you know, delay, delay, delay. And I think it's very frustrating for a lot of people. I mean, I'm not in this anymore, but as a member of Visit Bloomington, as somebody who's worked on the project for quite some time and still believes it's the right thing to do, I sure wish we could get going. I've said this 2 years ago before the pandemic started. Once the go is given, the word, yes, we can move forward, we're 3 years away from ribbon cutting because there's all kind of other steps that have to happen. The project's only gotten more expensive in the delay, and it won't get any cheaper as we move forward, and the demand still exists. The city's built a parking garage at 4th Street. We did that because we knew the expansion of the convention center would require it. So I just feel like many of the steps have been taken, but for whatever reason, the logjam continues to be at the county commissioner level, and that I've never heard an articulated reason for what's the obstacle. Why can't we move forward?
Mick Renhuizen, former deputy mayor, is joining us this afternoon, getting his thoughts on how the convention center project has started, stopped, and, well, trying to get revived here. And that is a great point, Mick. I wish there'd just be a flyer or a one sheet or somebody just comes out and says, this is why we're against it, and there's three bullet points, and then we can have another discussion. But I don't. Is it political wrangling? Is it the land? If you had a choice of putting a jail downtown or a convention center, well, that's a pretty easy one for me.
I think it, you know, I've heard the commissioners say, and yes, the commissioners have a major challenge ahead of them. The community does, and that's replacing the aging jail that's, you know, just not sufficient, as I understand it. And great, you know, that is a primary function of county government, is to have the justice system resides under county government. The city doesn't have anything to do with that. And that's a huge responsibility. And yes, their attention should be on that. In the meanwhile, other things can and should be happening, and this is one of them. Just if you have other bigger fish to fry, go fry them and let the city move forward because it's ready and willing to do so.
And as we move forward in this, is there any real, in your opinion, real danger of the state coming in and saying that food and beverage tax, all that money you've been collecting, it's not going anywhere, so let's put a sunset on that? Is that a very real possibility in your opinion?
I think it absolutely is. I think whether it was Bloomington or any other city, that when you collect a tax for a specific purpose, and this tax had a purpose to build a convention center, the city pledged every dime it collected within city limits toward this project, and the county doesn't have to spend any of its resources that come through the food and beverage tax on this project. I don't see how we could not anticipate the state legislature say, you're 6 years into this now, you haven't done a thing, and it doesn't look like you're going to do anything. We're just going to rescind the tax, and then we would have to spend the money we have on whatever we could spend it on that fits the legislative purpose. It wouldn't be on a convention center, and that would just be a shame. After it took so many other administrations prior to these that are in elected office now to get to this point and buy the land. The county has bought land for almost 20 years with the intent to expand the convention center. They knew this day would come. So it's a mystery why we can't take the next step and move forward with the project. And if they don't want to do it, that's okay. You have a willing partner, I would say, on the other side that is willing to take the ball and run with it.
Mick Renhuizen checking in, the former deputy mayor, director of the Parks and Recreation for the city of Bloomington, now enjoying retirement until I bug him on a Monday afternoon. It's glorious outside today. How'd you hit him?
Well, I played well today in our game, Cascade, so that was good because yesterday it wasn't so good. So that's how golf is, though.
That's exactly
not
right.
Not all the same.
And if you played great 4 days in a row, you'd be on some kind of tour, but that's not what we're worried about today. All right, I'll play devil's advocate for a minute here, Mick. If this is such a great idea and such a no-brainer, why doesn't private development come in and say, well, this would be great, let me buy it, let me do this, let me put it all together, and we don't have to have any red tape or government to work through this?
Yeah, that's a great question, Glass. That's one that was asked at the very beginning of this process back when the tax had to be passed to begin with. Why isn't the private sector doing this? And the answer is that there are a lot of things that the private sector won't do because the profitability in it is not there to take the risk. And that's why governments get involved in a variety of things, right? Our basic infrastructure. A private business isn't going to build our roads or sewers or parks, but those things are important to quality of life and economic development. Convention centers spin off a lot of economic development in the form of obviously hotel night stays and food and beverage expenditures and retail establishments that benefit when guests from out of town come in for a convention and spend their money. But the actual resource of building the center and making it profitable in and of itself is very rare. There's very few that are actually private. Most are some sort of municipally operated, subsidized operations that then benefit the rest of the business and economy the way that I just cited. So that has been asked and answered. And no one has ever stepped forward and said, I think I can privatize a convention center in Bloomington and do it. If we had one of those entities that suggest they could, I'm sure that would have been listened to or still possibly could have been listened to. But there's, in my experience, that's just very rare and it's unlikely to happen here in this marketplace.
Well, let me take you one other direction as well on that kind of same note. Where does Indiana University stand in all of this? Are they too busy with their own stuff to get involved in? Because, again, it's just a couple blocks away from campus. We know that they have, again, a union and things of the such there. They don't have any appetite to expand, or is that just not, is that crossing the streams too much?
No, they're absolutely behind this expansion. Valerie Pena, who's someone who used to work in the tourism industry and is a vice president at the university, and has been a strong supporter of the convention center, has articulated that she understands the administration is behind the expansion. Clearly, the university is a major draw for alumni coming back. Clearly, that's one of the reasons why we think a convention center in Bloomington, and it doesn't matter that Terre Haute built one, or it won't matter that somebody else in Evansville or wherever else builds one. It you can't replicate what Bloomington has, and that's the draw of the university and the draw of the beautiful area that we live in, and the draw of it being Bloomington has a lot, and I'll say Bloomington and Monroe County, because those assets are throughout our area, not just in one location. But those over a half a million living IU alumni look for reasons to come back as much as they can, and oftentimes they bring their trade shows and conferences and other things along those lines that we would benefit from with an expanded convention center. So I understand they're behind it. They don't want to build a convention center on their own property. They have a very small version of that works for them in the Biddle Hotel and conference room area, conference center area, but it's very small, and they do not oppose the expansion of the convention center. In fact, they support it to a high degree, from my understanding.
Is the argument perhaps that the convention center, the expansion, doesn't bring the right kind of jobs here? Is it too many service jobs or not high enough quality jobs? I'm trying to find an objection. I'm not seeing it clearly, and that's tough. Is that part of it? I think I've read that in other places. It just doesn't perhaps bring the kind of employment you need.
Well, I think it certainly brings service-related jobs, but let's not forget that there is a part of our population that needs that kind of work. Second, that's the ground floor, like any job that you start in. You have to start somewhere, and it's usually at the lower level, and you work your way up. Ask some of the hotel managers in town how they started. They were probably cleaning rooms or were front desk clerks before they advanced, learned more of the profession, and moved up into management. So I think it's a little disingenuous to suggest that it's only service-related jobs and that service-related jobs are a bad thing. But yes, many of them will be in that category, and many will start at a lower level, but there's opportunity for upward movement. And then there's all those ancillary businesses that get created for convention center support. I'm not well-versed in all of those, but when we have had folks do studies about the expansion, they've suggested that all kind of other businesses will grow as a result of convention business. People who have to do pipe and drapes, the things that you set up when you do the trade shows inside of a facility, that requires another business to support that. While we have some in town, they may have to grow their ranks, and that's not all set up people. That's people that have to have electrical backgrounds and a whole lot of other things. So there are good paying jobs as well as the basic service level entry jobs too. So I don't buy that as an argument. And if you just say that's what you're opposed to, then you're saying you don't want any jobs that are service related in our community. And gosh, I think we support those a lot in our community as it is. And no one looks down on the servers that we have at our restaurants now and say, gosh, we wish we only didn't have to have servers. Service-related jobs are important.
450 restaurants are about that. I know you could get that number quicker than I could, but I know what's up there. All right, Mick, last one before we let you go. I don't want to keep you working here in retirement. That would be silly. The legality behind, why can't we just put this on a ballot? Why can't we just put this as a referendum and let the people of the county decide where they want this to go?
Well, I think the decision's been made about when the tax was passed, and it was passed for a purpose, that decision's been made. This is no longer a referendum on should we build one or not. This is simply how are we going to do it and when are we going to start. So I think all of those decisions and discussions have been had in when the tax was passed, and I don't think revisiting that makes any sense whatsoever. It's now act on what the tax was passed for and construct the facility. Of course, taking into account what the pandemic has taught us the last couple of years, that may change the shape and form, size and purposes of the building. But I don't want people to forget, a convention center is a big box. You can do a lot of different things in it. It includes spaces to have local meetings. This word civic gets thrown a lot around with conventions. It's not one or the other, it's both. On some days, it may have nothing but civic activity in it. On others, it may be predominantly convention-based, with less civic, and then most of the time it's both. You know, it just depends on the groups that come in. So I think the decision to do it or not do it, that ship sailed when the tax was passed. It doesn't need to go to a referendum. It doesn't need to be discussed ad nauseum about whether we can do it or should do it. It's just a matter of how are we going to do it now, and what's the relationship going to be between the entities that are responsible for doing it, and that would be mostly, I think, the city and the county. To work out how that's going to look and then move forward. And delays cost money, and that's what we're seeing now. The cost of anything that we would try to build today is going to be substantially, unfortunately, more than 2 years ago if we'd have started then, and that's just the nature of this. So I'm not saying that's a reason to hurry up, but it's certainly a reason to get off the position that we're in and move forward because of that 3 years of process steps that have to occur before it actually opens.
Is a CIB is that a compromise? I know the city is not thrilled to hear those words. What do you think is going to be the final compromise to get this thing going, from your opinion?
Well, I certainly don't know the discussions that have been held on that. That was the direction we were taking when I was still in the mayor's office, because that is the statutorily created way to do it with the structure that was in place. It's not the only way to do it. 501c3s can be created and streamline the process some. They still have oversight by the elected body, so it's not like you're handing it off to somebody that can do whatever they want. There's always public oversight over anything because there's public financing involved in this. But the CIB has been another example of, if we were so close to doing it 2 years ago, and some people suggest we were, I sure didn't see that. I thought it was still a stalemate. And we just couldn't get an answer from proposals we would make to the county commissioners. So I don't know the current status of that. And so therefore, I don't know if a CIB is still being pursued or an alternative way is being pursued. But there are more than one way to take this out of the status of the elected officials that are involved now and have to be, and turn it over to a group that really their purpose is to design, finance and construct and hire operators to manage the facility. That's the next series of steps that have to be taken.
And we hope those